Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Praise God, everybody. Hallelujah, and we give God all the praise and honor and glory. We thank him, and tonight, this is not Pastor Ann and Steve Butterfield. Pastor Ann and Pastor Steve are traveling, and I am your host, Pastor Constance Whitehurst, and I just give God the praise and honor and glory for being able to host the program tonight. We thank God for each of you that have tuned in. We thank God also, too, for Pastor Stephen and Ann, and we just pray for traveling graces and mercies for them as they are off ministering the word of God. We thank God also, too, for our Covenant Fellowship Church, which is Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, with Archbishop Ruth Smith as the senior pastor, lead pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones, and our youth pastor, Pastor Zachary Osler. We just lift each of them up in prayer and give God praise and honor and glory for them. Well, we have a word in the house tonight. The guest minister and speaker of the hour is Pastor Clifford Fair, and we thank God for him. Thank God for the word that the Lord has deposited on the inside of him. And before we begin, we're going to go ahead and go to the throne of grace in prayer. As it says in Psalms 100, verse 4, we will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We're going to be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, right now, we just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the speaker of the hour, Pastor Fair, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for every person that has tuned in, Lord God, for a time such as this. We pray, Lord God, that your anointing power be upon Pastor Fair, that, Lord God, the word goes forth mightily and powerfully and uninterrupted, unhindered, Heavenly Father, that it touches the hearts and minds, Lord God, of our listeners, Lord God, that they will be able, Lord God, to let the word saturate in their spirit, that they will be hearers, and not only hearers, but also doers of your word, as to go forth, Heavenly Father, and advance your kingdom here in this earth. And for that, Lord God, and for your presence, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray, amen, amen, and amen. Well, at this time, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and open the lines up. And the very next voice that you will hear will be that of our speaker of the hour, Pastor Clifford Fair. Pastor Fair, are you with us?
I sure am. How are you this evening?
I am doing very well and blessed, sir, and God bless you as well.
Thank you very much. We've got a good word for you tonight, I believe. It's from the book of Jeremiah. So if you have your Bibles, turn
Amen.
With me through that book. A lot of times we look at Jeremiah and we think of nothing but the weeping prophet as we see him. But we're going to take kind of a behind-the-scenes look at Jeremiah tonight, if you will, and I hope that you and all the listeners get something out of it. We give you...
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it and anxious for it. In the first chapter of Jeremiah, we have the general inscription or the title of the book, and with the time of the continuance and of Jeremiah's public ministry, verses 1 through 3, we have the call of Jeremiah to the prophetic office by his modest objection against it, and it was how it was answered, an ample commission given for him for the execution of it in verses 4 through 10, the vision of an almond rod and a seething pot, signifying the approaching ruin of Judah and Jerusalem by the Chaldeans in verses 11 through 16. We see encouragement given to the prophet to go on and undauntedly in his work. No matter what he faced, he went through some hard times, but no matter what he faced, he went on, he went on, he went on. In an assurance of God's presence with him in verses 17 through 19. Thus, he is set to work by one that will be sure to bear him out, which is the Lord. Let's break this down a little bit tonight. In verses 1 through 3, we have here as much as it was thought fit. We should know the genealogy of this prophet and the chronology of this prophecy. We are told what the family the prophet was of. He was the son of Hilkiah. Not that Hilkiah is supposed or was a high priest in Josiah's time, but as another of the same name. Jeremiah signifies one raised up by the Lord. It is said of Christ that he is a prophet whom the Lord, our God, raised up unto us. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Deuteronomy 18 chapter 15, it says the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and thy brethren like unto me, and ye shall hearken him. In Deuteronomy 18:18, I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren. So Jeremiah is someone that God also means is raised up to the Lord. So he's not only the weeping prophet, but he's somebody that God raised up in a prophecy way back in Deuteronomy. He was of the priests, and as a priest, was authorized and appointed to teach the people. But to that authority, an appointment of God added the extraordinary commission of the prophet. Ezekiel was also a prophet, and thus God would support the honor of the priesthood at a time when, by their sins and God's judgment upon them, it was sadly eclipsed. So you got to understand where all Jeremiah had been and what he had gone through, not just stepping into the office of the priest, but he had to go through some stuff first, along with Ezekiel and along with his dad, Hilkiah. Thus, God, as I said, he honored the priesthood at a time when their sin, and God's judgment upon them was so very eclipsed that it was hard for them to understand why and what was going on. He was of the priests of Anath, a city of priests, which lay about 3 miles from Jerusalem. Abathar had his country house there. If you look at that in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 26, we have the general date of the prophecy, the knowledge of which is requisite in understanding it. He began to prophesy in the 13th year of Josiah's reign. We see that in verse 2 in our text in chapter 1. Josiah, in the 12th year of his reign, began a work of reformation, applied himself with all sincerity to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves of the images. Look at the 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 3, which says, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David's his father, and in the 12th year began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves and the carved images and molten images. So see, Jeremiah was thought of long before this book ever came about. Jeremiah was actually prophesied starting in Deuteronomy. He was also prophesied in Second Chronicles. He was also prophesied in Second Kings. So a lot of stuff was building up to Jeremiah being a prophet in the ministry that it was set before him. And a very seasonable then was the young prophet raised up to assist and encourage the young king in that good work. Then the word of the Lord, it came to him, not only as a charge and as a commission to him to prophesy, but as a revelation of the things themselves, which he was to deliver. As it is an encouragement to ministers to be countenanced and protected by such prior and prius and pious magistrates as Josiah was, it is a great help to magistrates in any good work of reformation to be advised and animated and to have great deal of work done for them. Jeremiah didn't have that luxury. But by such faithful and zealous ministers as Jeremiah was, he did a lot of stuff on his own, for his own, and because of his own. Now, one would have expected when these two joined forces, Elijah and Jeremiah, that such a prince and such a prophet, and both young, they were both very young, such a complete reformation would be brought about and settled as would prevent the ruin of the church and state. But instead, it proved quite otherwise. In the 18th year, Josiah defined was there were a great many relics of idolatry, and that they were not purged out. Remember we said in the beginning we saw the sins worked against themselves. So what the best princes and prophets do to prevent the ruin of the people and hate be reformed. And therefore, though it was a time of reformation, Jeremiah continued to foretell the destroying judgments that were coming upon them. So it didn't matter to him what they were seeing. He continued to do this as God directed him to do. There was no symptom more threatening to any people than the fruitless attempt of reformation. Jeremiah knew this. Josiah and Jeremiah would have healed them, but they would not be healed. He continued the prophecy through the reigns of Jehoiakim and Zebediah, each of whom reigned 11 years. Jeremiah prophesied to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive. Verse 3. And the great event which he had so often prophesied of, he continued to prophesy after that. We see that in chapter 40, verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzar, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him from being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. So not just in the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry did he go through some stuff, but on through his ministry he went through some stuff and he continued to go through some stuff. So a lot of times we don't look at the backstory of Jeremiah. We see that he was a weeping prophet and people, I think, get fixed on that. But he is just a weeping prophet. He prayed so hard that he wept bitterly and sorely for the things that were going on around him. Instead, we see that he was going through a great deal. So it's good to look behind the scenes with Jeremiah as it is with some of the other prophets in the Old Testament. The computation here is made to end with that because it was accomplishment of many of his predictions himself. From the 13th of Josiah to the captivity, it was just 40 years. Dr. Lightfoot observes that Moses was so long with the people, the teacher in the wilderness, until they entered into their own land. Well, the same token, Jeremiah was so long in their own land, a teacher, before they went into the wilderness of the heathen. And he thinks that therefore a special mark was set upon his last 40 years of the inquiry among them, and with great aggression, with their impotency, God, in this prophet, through Jeremiah, suffered their manners. He suffered their ill manners. He, for 40 years, at a length, he swore in his wrath that they should not continue in his rest. That's what we see in verses 1 through 3. Let's look at verses 4 through 10. Here, Jeremiah, his early designation to the work and office of the prophet, which God gives him notice as a reason for his early application to do that business. We see that in verse 4 and 5. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. We're told that God knew us before we were born, that God has a plan for our lives, just the same as he does for Jeremiah. Jeremiah thought he was going to fight it, like so many of us do. We think that we can stop the calling of God on our life just from running from it or turning away from it. We think we can stop the calling of God on our life if we just ignore it and it will go away. That's not the case. If you're truly called of God, the calling of God is going to chase you down and haunt you until you surrender, until you throw both hands up in the air, you give up, and everything that you are, everything that you have been, everything that you're going to be, and let God make you what he Amen. Wants you to be. The word Amen. Of the Lord came to Jeremiah with a satisfying assurance to him, to himself, that it was the word of the Lord and not a delusion. And God told him that. God himself had ordained him a prophet to the nations, or against the nations, the nation of the Jews in the first place, who now are reckoning among the nations because they had learned their works and mingled with them in their idolatries, for otherwise they would not have numbered with them. Look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among nations. God just confirmed what he said back in Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, that he set Jeremiah over nations. He said it in Numbers, and now he's confirming it, saying it directly to Jeremiah. It's funny, because God prophesied over many of us before we were even born. God prophesied over us that we were going to be in ministry of one form or fashion. God prophesied saying that we would be going into the highways and byways to preach and teach the gospel. God told us that we would be praising him in song with the timbrel. So he's prophesied some of us are going to be musicians. Some of us are going to be singers. He's prophesied that some of us are going to be teachers, evangelists, prophets. He's prophesied all of these things over us as well. And the thing is, God says he'll give all of those gifts severally to each man that will. So if you're willing to accept one or more than one, God is willing to give them to you because he's already prophesied that he has and he will, and God is a man that cannot lie. Yes. Now, Jeremiah, he was given to be a prophet, not just to the Jews only, but to the neighboring nations to whom he was to send yokes. In chapter 27, verse 2, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck. How would you feel today if God deliberately told you to put bonds and yokes around your neck? If you don't know what a yoke is, it's a very heavy wooden thing that's made for oxen. to put around the oxen's necks so they walk side by side. One can't go in front of the other one. One can't go behind, but they have to go together. How would we feel today if God deliberately told us to put socks and bonds and yokes on our necks? A lot of us would complain about it. Chapter 27, verse 3. After God told him to put the yokes on his neck, he then says, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messenger which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and whom he must make to drink of the cup of the Lord's anger. Chapter 25, verse 17. Then I took the cup of the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink, and to whom the Lord had sent me. So not only did Jeremiah put the stocks and bonds and the yoke on his own neck, but he had the nations to drink just because God told him to, and the nations obeyed. Kind of interesting what the path that God took Jeremiah to. You see, he is still in his writings a prophet to the nation, to tell them what the national judgments are and which may be expected for the national sin. It would be well for the nation that they would have taken Jeremiah for their own prophet. But the nations, many of the nations, rejected Jeremiah, did not take him as their own prophet. It would have behooved them to take him for their prophet and attend to the warnings that he gives. It's ironic that God put somebody like Jeremiah in the path of all of the nations. The nations knew that Jeremiah was above them and over them, but yet some of them obeyed and some of them did not obey. Jeremiah had the yoke on his own neck. He was carrying the burden. He was carrying the weight. But the people still didn't believe what Jeremiah was saying to them. Sometimes we as believers have to take things at face value and look at them and study them really well so we can understand them. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah's time and the way God laid everything out for Jeremiah, it was so pure, so intentional, but yet the nations still fought against it. That before he was even born, even in his eternal counsel, he had designed him to be so. God designed Jeremiah to be everything that he is, and God knew Jeremiah was going to go through some stuff. God let him know that he who gave him his commission is the same that gave him his being, that formed him in the belly and brought him forth out of the womb, that therefore he was his rightful owner and might employ him, make him as he pleased. And that this commission was given to Jeremiah in pursuance of the purpose God had purposed in himself concerning Jeremiah. Before he was born, he said, I knew thee and I sanctified thee. God says that to us.
Amen.
And that is,
yes, he does.
I determined that thou shouldst be a prophet. This is God, what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't want this office. He ran from it. He turned away from it. He did not want this office. But he humbly took the office of prophet because he knew that God had called him to this office. I determined that thou shouldst be a prophet and set thee apart for the office. How many things does God call us to do, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he sets us apart, but we ignore it. We don't have the same feeling in our gut that Jeremiah had. As much as he did not want this office, he humbly accepted it. He humbly accepted everything that came with it. He humbly accepted the punishment that he went through. He accepted the chains that he had to wear. He accepted the yokes that he had to carry. He accepted everything because he knew that was God's calling on his life. Thus,
Amen.
Paul says of himself that God had separated him from his mother's womb to be a Christian and to be an apostle. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. If we only understood that God separated us from our mother's womb to answer the call of a Christian, to answer the call of an apostle. God didn't just do this to Jeremiah. God is no respecter of persons. When he calls us from the womb, he has a design for our lives that we don't understand. Sometimes we don't want to do it. We've got to be obedient and step into that call.
Amen.
Great.
Amen.
The preacher knows what use to make of every man before he makes him. Now, imagine that, if you will. The Creator himself knows what to make of every man before he even makes us. Look at Romans chapter 9:21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another with dishonor? What God has designed men for, he will call them to. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
For his purpose cannot
Amen.
Be frustrated. Known unto
Amen.
God are all his own works beforehand, and his knowledge in the infallible, and his purpose unchangeable. There is, now capture this, there is a particular purpose and providence of God conversant about his prophets and his ministers. They are by special counsel. They are by special counsel designed for their work. And what they are designed for, they are fitted for. Woo! Man, if that don't get you excited, I think if that don't ring your bell, your talking must be broke. I know, I know thee, sanctified thee. I know thee and sanctified thee. God destined them to it. So whatever the calling on your life is, God has destined you for it. God has prepared you for it. God has equipped you for it. God has made you stand out for it. God has put it in your heart to want to desire to do it. Because when God destined us to do it. But see now, Jeremiah, original endowment, not education, makes a prophet. So Jeremiah's original endowment was undoubtedly from God. He planned it before he was even formed in the womb. That's what God says he does for us. He plans our lives before we were even created in the womb, and therefore when we fight against it, we struggle against it, we're fighting against God's ultimate and God's infinitely better plan for us than we could even ever imagine. Jeremiah, his modesty, now capture this, Jeremiah's modesty, declining this honorable employment. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. See, Jeremiah was trying to deny his calling at a young age. Many of us as older Christians, as devout Christians, try to deny God's calling on our lives because if we're told to go to the hospital to pray for somebody, for example, and God promises you they're going to heal, they're going to be healed, we get scared. We say, well, I can't lay my hands on them. What if they don't get well? Well, you're trying to do it yourself. You've got to get out of the way and let God be God. And though God had predestined Jeremiah to this office, yet it was news to him with a mighty surprise to hear that he would be a prophet to the nations. Why would it surprise Jeremiah? Why would it surprise any of us that God says that we're going to be the next Billy Graham, or that we're going to be the next T.D. Jakes, or we're going to be the next somebody that reaches millions and millions and millions of people? because that's our predestiny. That's what God has planned for us before we were even formed in the womb.
Amen.
We don't know what God intends for us, but He knows. One
yes,
would
he does.
Have thought he would catch it. God had, Jeremiah would have caught it as a piece of perfection, but he didn't. Jeremiah objected to it even from a young age. How many of us and how many times have you seen a Christian object to a calling on their life? Someone else can see it, and if you speak that word to that person that they've got a calling on their life, they reject it. It's not an uncommon thing because it goes way back to even prophets. It goes back to Adam and Eve. God's plan for our lives has been rejected. So, as Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, the old cannot speak to great men and multitudes as prophets must. I cannot speak finely nor fluently. Cannot word things well as a message from God should be worded. I cannot speak with any authority, nor can expect to be healed, for I am a child, and my youth will be despised." Who else do we know that said they couldn't be God's spokesman like that? The first one that comes to my mind is Noah. Noah said that he couldn't speak because he stuttered. But God had Aaron there with Noah, and he said he was going to speak for him and through him. It doesn't matter. If God has called you to something, just like I said earlier, He's going to equip you for it. If God has predestined you for something in your life, it doesn't matter the circumstances that come up to try to fight you and battle you against that. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God's going to open the door that no man can open, and God's going to open the door that no man can close because He's opened it
Amen.
Himself before you were even born in the womb. No,
yes,
it
yes.
becomes us. It becomes us. It complements us. When we have any service to do for God, to be afraid lest we mismanage it. That's the only reason that we would have to be afraid, unless it suffer through our weakness and our unfitness for it. It becomes us. It becomes us. Likewise, to have low thoughts of ourselves and to be different of our own sufficiency. Those that are young should consider that they are so, should be afraid of their Elihu was, but not venture beyond their length. See, so many times we let fear get a hold of us, and it stops us dead in our tracks. To stop doing what God has called us to do. So many times we let fear, and you know the acronym for fear that I use is false evidence appearing real. That's all the devil has against us, is false evidence appearing real, and he tries to use that against us to be fear, so it stops us in our tracks from what God has called us to do. In Jeremiah, it says that he couldn't speak to the nations because he was weak. Well, the Bible says that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if we're weak, hallelujah, we ought to be shouting from the mountaintops because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It doesn't get any better
Amen.
Than that.
Amen.
God should be worded. I cannot speak with any authority, nor can I expect to be heeded. For I am a child, and my youth will be despised. It becomes us. Like I said, I'm going to repeat this because it's worth repeating. It becomes us when we have any service to do for God. If we find a way to let God be God, let go and let God, and let Him have His way with us because He's called us to do it
Amen.
Anyway.
Amen.
The assurance of God, as we continue to look at Jeremiah, the assurance of God graciously gave him that he would stand by him and carry him in his work. See, God doesn't just say that to Jeremiah. He says that to us. He says that he's always going to be by our side. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes.
He is going to be there through thick and through thin. He is going to be there closer than a brother, and he's going to stand by us. God let him know. God let Jeremiah not object that he's a child. God didn't object to that. He shall be a prophet for all that. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me. Now, see, Jeremiah just gave God the excuse. I can't speak because I'm a child. But here's what God answered him. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
Amen.
So, Jeremiah took his excuse and turned it around to be something extremely powerful. You see, God said, God told him flat out, don't say anymore that I'm a child. It's true, you're a child, that you are, but God has precepts. And let not thy being, God says, let not your being young hinder you from obeying your precepts, from your calling, from your responsibility.
Amen.
Go to it. He says, go to all whom I shall send thee and speak whatsoever I command thee. Sometimes you don't want to go up and say things, thus saith the Lord, that God has put in your spirit because you don't feel like it's right. You don't feel like it's the proper thing to say. But if God's told you to do it, and there's no doubt in your mind God's told you to do it, you need to say it. Just like Jeremiah. God will get out a 2x4 and whack you over the top of the head if you don't listen to him the first time. You don't need to start getting bigger lumber. You just need to listen the first time.
All right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
He says, though a sense of our own weakness and insufficiency should make us go humbly about our work. And that's what Jeremiah, I keep using that word about Jeremiah. He went about it humbly. He disagreed with it, but he didn't stop. He let God know he disagreed with it, but God told him right straight up, no, don't use that excuse. And if you read through Jeremiah, every single time that Jeremiah had an excuse of any kind, God spoke to him and said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. And believe it or not, God does that with us as well. There's so many times that we will ignore a calling. There's so many times that we will back away from a calling. But God says, no, that's not my plan. That's not what you're going to do. So he takes our own weakness, just like he did Jeremiah. He takes our own insufficiency, just like he did Jeremiah, and points us in the direction that we should go humbly about our work. Yet it shouldn't shouldn't make us draw back away from God when God calls us to it. See, God was angry at Moses for his modest excuses. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. When he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So what I just said, God already reiterated to Moses. Well, just because you stutter, don't think you're going to get out of what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to speak even if you have to use a spokesperson. So, God, it's amazing how God takes away our excuses because he's already predestined us. He's already called us before we were formed in the womb. Jeremiah went on to be a mighty and a powerful prophet simply because he never backed down. He never gave up on what God was telling him to do. He never surrendered to the fear that was in his life. But he moved forward.
Amen.
That's exactly what we've got to do. God, we have something that can't be taken away from us. We have God's presence, just like Jeremiah did, just like Moses did, just like Daniel did, just like David did, just like Paul did. We have God's presence, and that cannot be taken away from us. And let not thy being young discourage thee from depending on it. I love it when God says that, because there's so many young people that get discouraged on things that they know that they're supposed to be doing because of peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They should understand
mm-hmm.
that the peer pressure doesn't matter because God has already equipped them for it. There was a movie, Breakthrough. That movie was so awesome. If you haven't seen that, I would suggest going to see it. There was a mother that did not get her son had all the appearances to be dead. She wouldn't receive that. She kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and praying. It's a very good movie.
Oh,
God told
amen.
Jeremiah, you are a child, and you shall be enabled to go to whom all I shall send you. So God knew that Jeremiah, even though he was a child, he was going to go. And because of his obedience, nothing else, but because of his obedience, he was going to go, and they were going to listen to what he said. Though they were ever so great and ever so many, and whatsoever. Now, God also told Jeremiah this, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt have judgment, memory, and language, wherewith to speak it as it should be spoken. So barriers wasn't going to be there. God said right there he was going to, the judgment, the memory, the language was not going to be a problem because he was going to take care of it. So no matter what Jeremiah went, he was going to automatically speak the language that they spoke. They'll bring it. If we see that God is willing to do something like this for the prophets of old, and we see it how he's doing that now, why don't we believe it in ourselves? We believe it for everybody else. But why can't we believe it in ourselves? Samuel delivered a message from God to Eli when he was a little child. God can, when he pleases, make children prophets and ordain strength out of the mouths
yes.
of babes and sucklings. He says so many times,
amen.
Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, and yes, sometimes that's what gets me. People say that the kids today are the next generation. No, they're the now generation. There's some kids that have
that's
the words
right.
from God that we need to be listening to because they're spot on
amen.
In what they're saying. Their prophecies that they are, just because they're young, don't mean we should turn a deaf ear to them. We should be listening to those children. Some of them
amen.
Have some powerful, powerful, powerful things to say that God has ordained. Nobody else.
Yes.
And it's very obvious. So God is dealing with Jeremiah here. He said, let him not object that he shall meet with enemies and much opposition. So Jeremiah was afraid that he was going to meet with a lot of opposition. Jeremiah was afraid that he was going to be talking to his enemies. But God told him, don't let him object that he shall meet with these people. Here's why. God will be his protector. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, if God is saying that to Jeremiah, God speaks that to us through this prophet Jeremiah, why in the world do we give in to this thing called fear? Why do we give in to this thing called weakness? Why do we give in to this thing called lack of determination when God gives us the strength? His weakness is made perfect, or his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That tells me right there that no matter what we do, it doesn't matter how weak we feel we are. God is our strength. God is the one that sustains us. There's a verse in the Bible that says he sustains us. When I read that verse, I get chills because I can just picture the hand of God sustaining, holding up this world, supporting every person that is called by the name of Christian, supporting every ministry that can be mentioned, that as long as it's glorifying God, working for the kingdom of God. Jeremiah, so many of his excuses was taken away from him. He even told him not to speak to them that were, which was unpleasing. He told him to speak to the people that were not pleasing to Jeremiah or to anyone around them. They were going to be naysayers, but God said, you're going to speak to them. And through Jeremiah's obedience, God used him in a major way. That's what all of us that are called as Christians want, is for God to use us in amazing and in astonishing ways. We have to get over, there's no other way to say it. We have to get over ourselves, because God has promised us to do what he's going to do. He's equipped us before we were even formed in the womb. God told him, told Jeremiah, thou speakest in the name of King of the King of Kings by the authority from him. And with that, thou mayest face him down. We speak in the authority of the King of Kings. We're told that we do. We're told that we are equipped to go into the highways and byways and teach and preach the gospel. We're told that the things that Jesus did, we will do greater things, because he's going to his Father to be a comforter for us, to prepare a place for us. Though they may look at you and look at you like they're angry, God said, be not afraid of their displeasure, nor disturbed apprehensions of the consequences of it. Those that have messages to deliver from God must not be afraid to face, be afraid of the face of man. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3:9. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their look, though they may be a rebellious house. That's pretty strong right there. There's a lot of things that are supporting what Jeremiah went through. Be not afraid. He says you're going to speak to them even if they displeasure you. But you're going to speak to them even if they're your enemies. You're going to speak to them. In other words, God says we have the authority to speak to this mountain, and it shall be moved and cast into the sea.
Amen.
Gives us
Amen.
That authority. And God also told Jeremiah, and thou hast cause both to be bold and easy, for I am with thee, not only to assist thee in thy work, but to deliver thee out of the hands of the persecutors. And if God be for thee, who can be against thee?
Amen.
He knows that.
Amen.
Because we hear it ourselves, we sing a song, if God be for thee, who can be against thee? You know, if, and my, not to add to or take away from the Bible, but if God be for thee, who cares who's against you? Because God tells us that nobody
Amen.
Shall stand in our way. Nobody.
That's right.
If God is, if God does not deliver his ministers from trouble, it is to the same effect if he supports them under their trouble. Mr. Gattiger observes very well here, that earthly princes are not wont to go along with their ambassadors, but God. See, I love that when the Bible says, but God. You better get ready. You better hold on and get ready, because God's getting ready to do something when the Bible says, but God. But God goes along with those whom he sends, as is, by his powerful protection at all times and in all places, present with them, with his, with this they ought to animate themselves. You know, it's not hard to become an animated Christian when you stop and think about it, because you ought to be very excited about what God has done for you. He saved you. He sanctified you. He's filled you with the Holy Ghost. He's given you all kind of gifts of the Spirit. He's given you fruits of the Spirit. It should not be hard to get excited about what God has done for you. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That's something pretty powerful that God reflects on after he's tried to tell Jeremiah, don't be afraid, don't back up, don't be discouraged, don't give up, because I'm with you, I'm supporting you, I'm holding you up, I'm sustaining you. We've got those same promises from God, and we need to take a stand in our calling, be firm in our calling. We need to take a stand and go forward with what God wants us to do. And if we're uncertain, the Bible says to pray for wisdom and seek God for that wisdom. So it's always good to pray and to gather with those that will pray with you and know that God's knowledge, know God's wisdom, and know how to seek that wisdom to get you through things. Well, when God says he's not going to put more on us than we can bear without a way to escape, he's giving us wisdom there. All we have to do is pray for wisdom to get through that situation. We might not see it ourselves, but God does. We might not understand it, but God does. We might not want to go through that situation, but God has ordained us to go through it because he wants the victory. He wants the testimony from our lips, from our hearts. God says, let him no more object. He's talking to Jeremiah. Let him not object that he cannot speak as becomes him. God will enable him to speak. To speak intelligently. And as one that had acquaintance with God, look at verse 9 in chapter 1 here. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. If we would take that verse right there, the words I can't would never come out of our mouth ever again, because we know that God had stretched forth his hand, put his hand over our mouth, and filled our mouth with his words. There's a verse that says, God, I'm going to open my mouth. You fill my mouth. You give me the words. There's times that we do not have the words. That's where we've got to rely on the deity of Christ. We've got to rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because God, just like he told Jeremiah, is going to fill our mouth. Sometimes the hardest time to say something to somebody is when they're grieving about anything. God says he will fill your mouth. He will touch your mouth with his hand and fill your mouth. You see, Jeremiah was having a vision of divine glory at this point. The Lord put forth his hand, and by a sensible sign conferred upon Jeremiah so much of the gift of the tongue as was necessary for him. He touched his mouth. We already read where Jeremiah went into countries and nations. He did not speak the language, but the words were there that they understood. The words were there that they heeded. Why? Because God touched his mouth. He touched his mouth, and with that touch, he opened his lips. That his mouth should show forth God's praise. And that touch, just that touch, sweetly conveyed his words into his mouth, God's words into his mouth, to be ready to him upon every single occasion that he was going to come across, so that he could never, ever want words. Who was thus furnished by him that made man's mouth? God not only put knowledge into his head, but words into his mouth. If God is doing that for Jeremiah, he's going to do it for us. He says what he does for others, he'll do for us.
Amen.
For there are words which the Holy Spirit teaches. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you see, Jeremiah knew that God had filled his mouth. It is fit God's message should be delivered in his own words, that it may be delivered accurately. look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. He says, speak my words. Jeremiah knew this because God personally told him, he touched his mouth and his words were going to come out. Why do we fear to open our mouths and to speak something when God, we know God has put it in our spirit, in our heart? Why do we fear what me and men are going to think or what they're going to say or what they're going to respond to? Why? When God says he has touched our mouth and his words shall come out. And those that faithfully do so shall not want instructions as the case requires. God will give them a mouth and a wisdom in that same hour. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour when ye shall speak. So if God is going to give us stuff in the same hour, we have, like Jeremiah, like Moses, our excuses are taken away from us. Our excuses Amen. Are put behind us because we're supposed to be looking forward. We're supposed to be trusting in God. We're supposed to be trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said several places that we've looked at that he will put the words in our mouth. So the next time that God tells you to speak something, do it humbly, but do it obediently. Mm-hmm. Believing Amen. That God Amen. Has put his hand over your mouth, has touched your mouth, and his words are going to flow forward. As you pray and you ask for the wisdom of God, be sure that you ask always, God, let me speak your words, as you did the prophet Jeremiah. God, let me have the boldness that Jeremiah had, but let me have the humility that Jeremiah had as well. You made Jeremiah a very strong prophet because he listened to what you said, not what his body, what his heart, what his mind was telling him to do, which was to find any and every excuse under the sun. So when you are seeking God and you're seeking wisdom, think about Jeremiah. When God gives you something to say to someone, think about what God said to Jeremiah, that he's going to go forth and he's going to speak the words that he has put in his mouth. There's no reason to be afraid, no reason to backpedal, no reason to look for a way out, because God has made a way for us to move forward. Pastor?
Amen. Praise God. Oh, my Lord, what a powerful word. I've just been taking notes. Thank you so much, Pastor Fair, to all of us, those that are in the fivefold ministry and those that are children of the Most High God. What a message of reassurance. This has been a true message of reassurance that you can go forth, that you know that God's presence is with you. You have his protection, you have his provision, and you have his promise. And simply put, that if you know that God has called you to it, I promise you that he will see you through it. So thank you so much, Pastor Fair, for this powerful, anointed, and message of reassurance. We should be able to go forth and do all that God has called for us to do. We praise God for you, and we thank God again. May you all go forth and take this message and begin to continue to advance the kingdom of God. And we give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Have a wonderfully blessed night. God bless you all. Thank you, Jesus.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
from hell.